I'm Marco Werman, and you're tuned to The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. The migrant crisis in Europe has shown that not all countries respond the same way to new arrivals. Some offer a warm welcome. Other countries try to keep out asylum seekers or move them to someplace else. Those are the two extremes. So what about us here in the U.S.? What's it like for refugees who resettle here? Well, again, it depends a lot on where you go. So let's take one case, the city of St. Cloud, Minnesota. A large number of Somali refugees now call it home. St. Cloud is about an hour's drive northwest of Minneapolis. It's not the most welcoming place for Somalis. That's the word from Susan Du. She's a reporter for City Pages newspaper. Your story, Susan, in City Pages profiles several Somalis who make St. Cloud their home. How'd they get there in the first place?
Well, there was a civil war in Somalia in the 90s, and once that broke out, many Somalis had to flee, and the U.S., in particular Minnesota, became a landing spot. So St. Cloud stands out, I think, because St. Cloud, this small city in the middle of the state, has had some very real tensions with accepting them, allowing them to assimilate, welcoming them, simply being willing to open their arms and open their communities to these refugees.
Yeah, specifically, what have Somalis had to deal with in terms of discrimination in St. Cloud? What kind of stories did you hear?
Well, there's a lot of everyday discrimination. Folks driving down the street, having people roll down their windows and yell at them to go back to their homes. Altercations in grocery stores, where if a Somali family, even if they know how to speak English, are speaking Somali to each other, are told by strangers, learn English or go back to your country. There's a lot of bullying among the children, kids taking what they hear from home to the classrooms, telling their Somali classmates, we know that you're just here to take welfare, you get all sorts of free stuff, you're living basically on the backs of our parents. And they're being called ISIS, they're being called the N-word. You know, back after 9/11, they were asked, you know, do you know the whereabouts of Osama bin Laden, and so on and so forth.
Right. So how have Somalis in St. Cloud responded to the insults and the objects thrown at them and the calls to go back to Somalia?
I think they've responded with tremendous dignity. They're here, like many generations of immigrants from different countries before them, to build a life. And the thing about St. Cloud is that it's not a wealthy place. It's not a particularly exciting place. Nobody goes there, really, other than to simply live, to strike out a living. And they're there because they do appreciate the opportunity to live a safe life and to build their families. And there are those in the community that tell them, you ought to be more grateful. You shouldn't complain at all because, you know, things are going to be so much worse in Somalia. But, of course, they understand that. And I think they just roll with the insults. Sometimes they do talk back and try and confront the stereotypes and the false information. But I think a lot of them have also just learned to ignore and accept that as a part of their daily existence.
I mean, the fact that St. Cloud is a city with a lot of poverty, is that part of the problem? Poor longtime residents versus poor new arrivals? Everybody's kind of striving?
Exactly. I think that's one factor contributing to the cultural tension. St. Cloud is not a wealthy place. There are jobs, but they're not well-paying jobs. There are a lot of old industries out there, meatpacking, paper mills. But the city overall is 25% of the people live below the poverty line. And there's a sense that if there's not that much to go around already, that sort of fuels these conspiracy theories about these refugees somehow receiving so much more from the government that they're living well, better than the local residents.
Where did you find signs that St. Cloud can figure a way out of these tensions and hatred? I mean, how seriously is the city taking this?
I think the city at this point has recognized that it has a reputation for cultural intolerance, that even if a majority of the people that live in St. Cloud are well-meaning, kind, and welcoming people, that there aren't at the same time enough people willing to step up and say that we can't tolerate that intolerance.
Susan Du, reporter with the City Pages newspaper in Minneapolis, thanks for telling us about what's going on in St. Cloud.
Thanks, Marco.